If you've been listening to Team Human, then you've heard about our sponsor, Groucho, the folks who find you people in your area to do dinners and salons with. Well, they've turned out to be not only a supporting sponsor of the show, but also a Team Human utility. That's right. So many Team Human people have been using the app to find others where they live that Groucho has ended up facilitating Team Human dinners in cities across the U.S. And there's people in a bunch of places looking for others to gather with. That's right. Team Human people in Alameda, Albany, Audubon, West Sussex, Brooklyn, Burlington, Chicago, Dallas, Denver, Grayson, Hutchinson, Lafayette, Libertyville, London, L.A., Malvern, Medusa, Montreal, New York, Newcastle, San Diego, Owosso, Philadelphia, Portland, Prescott, Richmond, Sacramento, Santa Cruz, Sayo, Storrs, Toronto, Wichita. So if you're on Team Human in one of those places and looking to find the others, go to mygroucho.club/teamhuman. Use the code TEAMHUMAN for half off the first month. And even if you're not looking for Team Human others, fill out the form and see who the curators find for you. That's mygroucho.club/teamhuman. You're on Team Human, Conscious Intervention in the Machine. I'm Douglas Rushkoff. Okay, yeah, I had another experience that I want to tell you about. It did involve a medicine ceremony, and I don't want you to think that I do this kind of thing all the time, or worse, that it's in any way required in order to live a fully aware, embodied, conscious, and awe-inspired existence. All of our experiences are potential portals to new ways of thinking and feeling. I put my hand on a tree the other day. I don't even know why exactly, but I felt compelled to put my palm on its trunk and just stand there for a bit. And I swear I could feel the essence, the intelligence of the forest of which it was a part. These kinds of awarenesses, the ones we sometimes get to feel as children before stress and logic and being right about things obscures the subtle nature of being from us, you know, and we end up in the flatlands of the probable instead of the infinite swirl of the possible, disconnected from the vitality of the rest of this organism and obsessed with how to maintain the boundaries between us and everything else instead of how to make them more porous. We come to think of that solidity and permanence of selfhood as the life we want to extend, when it's actually the opposite. So I got invited to a retreat, just a few days in the country. Interesting, that word country, right? The countryside really just means not city. It's just the regular world. There was nothing to call country until we built cities to define them by contrast. Anyway, I heard there'd be a facilitator offering people a short-acting medicine called Bufo, but I wasn't planning on making it a part of my retreat. I'd just come back from that shamanic experience in Costa Rica, and I didn't want to interrupt all that integration with yet another download. But when I met the facilitator, I started to feel like I was in the right place at the right time to try something I'd only heard about from Terence McKenna. You know, I'm not getting any younger, and how many opportunities am I going to have? Plus, the people at this thing were really loving and accepting, hand-selected friends of the host, not some commercial adventure in the woods. This was a safe place, meaning a safe place to experience challenging things. Everyone knew how to make space, how to engage and not engage with people integrating things, how to co-metabolize and co-regulate. And the facilitator herself, my God, it was like I knew her from a dozen past lives. Now, I admit I was scared. Bufo is a venom extracted humanely from a toad. The active and chemical in there is known as 5-MeO-DMT. It's often called the Mount Everest of psychedelics. It lasts like 10 minutes, right? Instead of a psychedelic trip with hallucinations and insights and whatnot, you get total ego death. All subjective experience and self-identity is just stripped away. Time and space vanish. It's like having 100 mushroom trips at the head of a pin. And for a lot of people, it's challenging. Even psychedelic legend Timothy Leary told me it was too much of a roller coaster for him. Too much ego dissolution all at once. You know, it's believed that 5-MeO-DMT is a naturally occurring substance in the human body, something maybe that gets released at the time of death. And it's responsible for a lot of the inner near-death experiences people have when they're, you know, heading toward the white light. And the people and setting were so nice, though, and the facilitator assured me that we all get whatever this God molecule determines we need, and that was enough for me. So I went into the huge ceremony room with three other people so we could do it one at a time and support each other by bearing witness. So because I was the least experienced, nice for a change, I went first. And I read a prayer, or really an extended affirmation that the facilitator held up for me. And it was all about the way I already have the thing I'm looking for, how I'm already loved, and stuff like that. Then she held out a glass pipe and torched it, and I inhaled. And I heard these bird sounds, and I later found out they were made by the facilitator. It's like a flock of birds I could follow through a portal in the sky, and then I was just bathed in white light, warm like the sun, but more. Total love, like total bliss. I realized my even having the presence of mind to think about it meant it was over. I was past the peak, right? But beautiful. And all I could think about after that was, do I deserve a totally blissful experience like that? I mean, I have all sorts of problems, right? So why or how do I get through this without some horror? Why do I get a pass? I mean, I was happy and glowing the rest of the day, but I still had this nagging doubt that maybe I didn't do enough, that I avoided the work, some sort of spiritual bypass occurred maybe. You know, more experienced people told me that most people don't even remember what happens on DMT, that it's outside time and space, and whatever needed to happen, happened, and that I'll find out later and maybe even remember pieces of it as it integrates. But there was an opportunity to do it again the next day, and I decided to go for it. You know, I decided that the medicine introduced itself to me on the first day. It knew I was scared and wanted to show me it was a benevolent molecule, a gentle spirit that meant only the best for me. So I'd go back and really surrender this time to whatever it had to say this time. And the next morning, I met, you know, a wonderful young man who told me he was going to be in my group, and that he was so very honored to be there and share this experience with me. And I was touched and humbled, like a person who knows me and my work, such a reward, as if my efforts doing all this stuff, all this Team Human and writing and vulnerability was coming back to me in the form of a person who happened to be in this experience with me. You know, how good to see the face of someone who appreciates what I do. So we went back into the ceremony, and I was more scared this time. I was basically inviting this medicine to do its worst with me, right? Give me what you got. And I read the prayer again and inhaled as much of the stuff as I could. I followed the bird and bam, an even hotter, brighter, totalizing dissolution of everything. Pure love, molecular vibration, resonance, disappearance, nirvana. So again, I ask, really? Do I deserve this? Total I didn't think I'd like getting sponsors for Team Human, but turns out the ones who actually want to sponsor us totally get what we're about, like Groucho, which uses technology as an antidote to social isolation, handling all the logistics for twice monthly gatherings between you and a hand-curated cohort of collaborators. It's as if Groucho were informed by the ideas we share on this show, from face-to-face interaction to bottom-up community to localism to the value of eccentricity over conformity. Groucho curates people as if they were being selected for an artist's colony, not clones, but complements and contrasts, ingredients for a collaborative stew. They also take care of all the logistics from dinner reservations to conversation starters. Just go to mygroucho.club/teamhuman for half off the first month. Answer some questions about yourself and your own time and let the humans at Groucho do the rest. That's mygroucho.club/teamhuman. Use the code teamhuman for half off the first month and enjoy your dinner and new friends. This and the Bufo answer, not in words, but by offering me alternatives. I could enter a state of purging. I felt the potential of spending an hour throwing up, my gut ready to contract, but I passed on that. No need to go there. And then I touched on the ocean of tears. I could cry an infinity of compassion for the suffering, and I touched it, tears welling up, but I let that go too. Then thought of my achievements. Have I done enough? I could worry about what I've done and how effective it's been or ineffective it's been and rededicate to getting more done in this lifetime. Or I could worry about my friends, my daughter. Does she have the tools she needs to make it through this world, meet the challenges of her illness, find a sustainable career? Will she be okay? I could worry endlessly about that. Or you can just die. Right, Bufo said that. You could just die. And that's the door I picked. Just die. That young man who spoke to me earlier, the one who was so honored to be there for this, it made me feel like I wouldn't die alone, right? Married or partnered or not, I had reached people with my work, with this work. They would be there when I needed them, right? Just die. And in accepting that, it was as if I had passed through the bardos of the Tibetan Book of the Dead and accepted the light without being tempted by one of the many false promises of completion. There was nothing to do but let go into death. And that's the moment I open my eyes and return to breathing, waking consciousness. I inhaled my first breath like a baby from the womb, this place of breathing where existence is an active process. It had been a couple of minutes, maybe just seconds, when that timeless eternity had taken place. And accepting death meant coming into this world of impermanence, this world, and I mean this in the most beautiful way, this world of death. This is where we come to die, from the timeless, egoless void of perpetual bliss to this temporary, fragile, metabolizing existence of inevitable change and eventual disappearance. That's what we do here. That's what makes this place so special. That's how we know we are alive. Like the frog, everybody, everything croaks. They were all crying when I returned to the group. I hadn't said anything, but they must have felt it. The universe as a cradle. It's an essential aspect of this existence that our civilization seems built to deny or resist. The pyramids of Egypt and capitalism alike, constructed in defiance of the dissolution. Now, this is why we built a world based on accumulation and extraction, climbing higher and trying to reach into the sky as ourselves, ego intact, extracting the energy of this place, its creatures and people, to somehow accrue enough mass to escape the inevitable, to recreate the ineffable infinity of the place we come from and the place we go to, but right here in the world of respiration, exchange, and metabolism. Now, this drives the tech bro's fascination with life extension, or that guy who injects himself with his son's blood in the hope of living forever, or growing clones for replacement parts, as if the purpose of this place was to resist the intimacy of being metabolized. We look at aging itself as disgusting instead of seeing the true delicate grace of the old woman on the park bench, or the wisdom she can articulate about learning to exhale. To take one's mind, one's personality, exactly as they are, and somehow upload it to a server where the breath has no province and life is frozen in place, resisting the metabolism and swirl of exchange where true living occurs. Just die is the one option they cannot bring themselves to see, much less accept. In an effort to transcend, they reject the bliss of voluntary disillusion and the passively active state of resonance with every other living entity in this realm. Poor things. The object of the game here, if there is one, is the opposite. It's what Spinoza, the 17th century philosopher, that's what he was getting at. In his masterpiece, Ethics, he argued that the very definition of a person's power and vitality, their life, was their capacity to affect and be affected by others. The capacity to affect and be affected by others. Your ability to be not an isolated object maintaining its own coherence, but a dynamic interplay of energies continually interacting with the rest of nature and society. Right? True power comes from ceasing the struggle to freeze time and instead learning to flow with the universe's infinite causal change. Yeah. Spinoza, he got excommunicated from Judaism and his books were banned. But that's another story. His dangerous belief was that we multiply our collective power to act by developing deep connections with other bodies and minds and learning to harmonize with them. And to do that requires us to accept the fleeting, shifting nature of corporeal existence. He believed that human suffering arises when our natural will to survive is misdirected into trying to keep things exactly as they are. Like the tech bro uploading his current data profile to the cloud and saving it the way we preserve the latest version of a Word document to a hard drive. When we do that, we shield ourselves and reduce our capacity to feel or act. The real opportunity is to recognize that our time here is limited, which encourages us to fully expand our capacity to find the others and dance with them in this thing. That's what gives us the unshakable peace, what Spinoza called beatitude, working from the Latin, or what Buddha called nirvana, that transcends the fear of death. Just find the others and be open to the change they create in you. And we can do this both individually and collectively. And the problem with this whole pyramidal civilization we're trying to prop up, right, is that it doesn't have the capacity to tolerate its own demise, its own temporary nature. Maybe we need more people who can model a graceful exit. Oh, yeah. I spoke to the young man later, the one who said he was so honored to be witnessing my experience, the one who made me feel like having written all these books and done all this work has created a community who will be there for me when it's my time. Well, we were talking about our experiences later, and I asked him just to be sure, like, do you know who I am? And he said he had no idea. He just saw my face, felt my essence, and it put him in a state of appreciation for sharing this moment together. It had nothing to do with my books or my achievements. In other words, he really did know who I am. Thanks so much for being here. Please consider supporting the show if you don't already. You can do it by going to patreon.com/teamhuman. You'll get access to live video chats with me after our YouTube premieres, access to our Discord, ad-free versions of the audio and video, invitations to live events. And if you can't, please don't worry. It's all good. Just click on things, thumbs, hearts, whatever you can, or share, and just show up. And it means a lot. Team Human is produced by Joshua Chapdelin and edited by Luke Robert Mason. I'm Douglas Rushkoff, and you've been on Team Human, our last best hope for peeps.